welcome to Juno Afternoon. It's Thursday, January 2nd, just 2 days into this fine new year. It's Juno Afternoon. My name is Shona Strasser, and we've got a great show lined up for you today. We'll take a look at upcoming classes at the Canvas Art Studio. Byron McGilvray will be here to highlight this weekend's Midwinter Vocal Festival concert. And we'll get an update on library activities with Beth Weigel. And Nancy DeCherney will be here with Arts Up, as she is every Thursday. And all that and more, Writer's Almanac. Going to be a great, great first Thursday here of the new year with Juno Afternoon. And first, National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. The Sundance Institute's Native and Indigenous Film Lab has announced submissions are being accepted for its 2014 Native Lab Fellowship. As Jim Kent reports, the Film Lab offers aspiring Native filmmakers the opportunity to receive hands-on guidance from professionals in the field.
Bird Running Water is director of the Sundance Institute's Native American and Indigenous Program. He says the idea for a Native Film Lab began with Sundance founder Robert Redford.
The idea for Sundance Institute came out of his earlier desire to support Native filmmakers to help tell their own stories. And Sundance Institute was born, and it's been a thread of work that's really existed for the past 31 years, 32 years, really.
Running Water says the Film Lab Fellowship allows four emerging Native filmmakers to have their scripts or story ideas reviewed by four established filmmakers.
Basically, there's one-on-one meetings that happen between the filmmakers and their mentors, and they will have read their projects in advance. And, you know, they just really kind of guide them down the path of trying to reach a final draft of a script and trying to ensure that their voice remains intact, that their point of view is strong and remains intact as well, but that the story is strong as it can be.
The Sundance Institute's Native and Indigenous Film Lab takes place on the Mescalero Apache Reservation in New Mexico. Creative advisors for previous film labs include Sterling Harjo, who directed Four Sheets to the Wind, and New Zealand director Taika Waititi, whose film Eagle vs. Shark was nominated for an Oscar. Applications for the 2014 Sundance Native Lab Fellowship must be received by February 3rd. For National Native News, I'm Jim Kent.
An Alaska Native man is one of the stars of a new reality TV show. As KUAC's Dan Bross reports, the Animal Planet program will highlight subsistence activities in interior Alaska.
The reality show, tentatively titled River Rats, features Village of Allakaket Second Chief P.J. Simon's outdoor adventures.
Hunting waterfowl by dog sled, dip netting on the Chitna. We made a firewood log raft. We made a salmon fish trap. We went seining for whitefish and sheefish on the Alatna River, and we went moose hunting.
Simon says it was different having a five-person camera crew in tow, but he's no stranger to media, having previously appeared on a fishing show and regularly calling basketball games on the radio. Simon serves on the Tanana Chiefs Conference Executive Board and describes himself as a plumber turned political advocate, adding getting on TV is an opportunity to share his culture.
Everything we did focused on feeding the people and feeding the elders of the village, and that's what my culture is based around.
River Rats, which also includes segments with outdoors people in the lower 48, is scheduled to premiere on Animal Planet in January. For National Native News, I'm Dan Bross in Fairbanks, Alaska.
The Duluth News Tribune reports two women involved with Idle No More events were arrested on New Year's Eve. Patricia Shepard and Raina Crow were arrested at the Mall of America in Bloomington, Minnesota, while reportedly attempting to stage a round dance. According to the news agency, the women say the event was not a protest, but a way to usher in good spirits for the new year. Idle No More events started in Canada and stretched across the U.S. in recent years. People have used them as an opportunity to address Native issues. Events have included round dances at malls. The Cherokee Nation in Oklahoma is providing seeds from its seed bank inventory to tribal citizens. Citizens interested in growing traditional Cherokee crops can pick up the seeds or have them mailed. The tribe has an inventory of seeds from rare breeds of corn, beans, squash, gourds, and tobacco. According to the tribe, the seeds are generally not available in stores. In January 2013, a ceremony was held in Durango, Colorado to welcome a totem pole to Fort Lewis College. The pole recognizes and celebrates Alaska Native students. The college's Native American Center commissioned David Boxley to carve the pole. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation is accepting art for the Alaska Native Art Auction, February 20th, 2014 in Anchorage, Alaska. Over 400 business leaders and executives attend this annual event to buy art. Proceeds benefit National Native News. Learn more at knba.org. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
And welcome back to Juno Afternoon. My name is Shona Strasser. It's Thursday, January 2nd, and in the studio with me, I have Catherine Kell. She's a program assistant at the Canvas. Hi, Catherine. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So the Canvas just does some really, really cool stuff. And, you know, it's the Canvas Art Gallery and Studio. Is that its official name?
Yes, yes.
So can you kind of give, for people who don't know, give us a kind of a rundown of what the Canvas does and where it's at and all that beautiful stuff?
Well, we're located at 223 Seward Street, which is right next to Pie in the Sky and across from V's. Basically, we're part of Reach, Inc. We grew out of Reach, Inc., and basically our goal is to create a space where we can have inclusion through shared art experiences. We have programming that serves members of the community who experience developmental disabilities. And then we also have community classes in the evening, which anyone can attend. We have a gallery, shared gallery space, where we have exhibits both by Reach artists and community artists. Just a lot of different things going on.
That's great. And how long has the Canvas been going on? Now you're like in 6 years, maybe?
I believe so, yeah. Right around 6 years is how long they've been in the space that we are now.
Yeah, it's just a great thing because there's, you know, day habilitation programs. There's all sorts of really cool things going on there. Mm-hmm. So you're here to talk about some upcoming classes for January.
Yeah, we've got, well, first off, we have our full schedule of classes for now through March available on our website. We got a printed bulletin you can pick up from the front desk if you want to stop by in person. But for this month in January, we've got some really great classes coming up. Next week, starting January 8th, which is a Wednesday, we have our Morphology, Human Anatomy for Artists class. This class is being taught by David Woody, and it's going to combine short slide lectures on muscular and skeletal morphology, drawing from a live model, and individual assistance from the instructor to basically help students gain a good working understanding of the major elements of the human form. So you get the scientific as well as artistic view on muscles, bones, and structures, basically.
That is so cool. Plus, you have David Woody. I mean,
yeah. Who can ask for more?
What an amazing
artist.
And an
opportunity to draw from a live model.
Yeah. What a great opportunity. When is that class?
It's going to be Wednesdays, January 8th through the 29th. It's a four-week class, 6:30 to 9 p.m., so it's an evening class, and it's $170. And this includes the price not only of the model fee, but of all the materials needed.
Cool. And so do these classes fill up? Does that happen?
They do, especially as we get closer. So if you have any thoughts of attending, you should call in today.
Yeah, do it now.
Yes.
Yeah. What else is going on there?
Also coming up, we've got a couple Youth Beginning Wheel classes. We're going to have Jenny Chamberlain teach Youth Beginning Wheel on Thursdays starting January 9th. And then we're also going to have Brandon Howard teach Youth Beginning Wheel on Mondays starting January 13th. Both of those classes are going to be from 3:30 to 5:30 p.m. And they're going to be $160, also including all materials. And this class is for ages 9 and up, and it basically provides an introduction to throwing on the wheel for young artists. It'll cover the basic techniques, including wedging, centering, and throwing bowls and cups. Great class for new people as well as those who just want to, you know, fine-tune their throwing skills.
Cool. That sounds great, too. I want to do that class.
Yeah. We do have an adult beginning wheel class. The one for January is filled up, though, but we have one in March.
Okay. Well, there, I'll look for March then.
And then also, if you already have previous ceramics experience, we have a special topics course coming up called Throwing Big. It's going to be taught by Brandon Howard. It's going to be on Wednesdays. It starts January 15th through February 5th, the four-week class, 5:30 to 8:30 p.m., 145, all materials included. And in this class, it's going to be go big or go home. Basically, all the projects that are going to be created in the class are going to use no less than 10 pounds of clay.
Whoa.
Yeah, so the focus is going to be like large serving bowls, platters, lidded jars, vases, and two-piece pots. For this class, because it is such a challenging course, previous clay experience is required, and strong throwing skills are recommended.
Yeah, so this is not your beginning class.
Yeah, if you're not comfortable like centering on the wheel, you probably don't want to take on like 10 pounds of clay at once.
Yes. Go big or go home. I just got this image of that movie Ghost, you know, the
Patrick Swayze.
Yeah, of course. Throwing on the wheel. Yeah. Anyway, what else?
If you're, you know, not into ceramics, but, you know, you want to maybe try your hand at painting, we're going to have a painting with acrylics basics class being taught by one of our newer instructors, Anari Kulanen. It's going to start Thursday, January 16th through February 6th, the four-week class, 6:30 to 9 p.m., 165. And basically, this class is going to be teaching people how to correctly handle acrylic paints. A lot of time, people kind of sell acrylic short. You know, they say that it's like gives you like a plastic surface that they dry super quick. And this class is going to teach you how to take those and actually turn what have been considered drawbacks of acrylics into advantages.
Ah, I like that. I'm a little scared of acrylics. I've got to admit.
Yeah, they have a bit of a bad rep because they're kind of, I guess, newer paints other than oils. But they are in the right hands. They can create just as beautiful works.
Cool. What, anything else going on over there?
We have a special two-week workshop coming up near the end of the month. It's going to be on Saturdays, January 18th and January 25th. We have a Tlingit beadwork class being taught by Ricky Tagaban.
Oh, what a score.
Yeah. Great artist, recipient of a 2013 Rasmussen Individual Artist Grant. So great work. It's going to be a 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. class, 135, and it's going to give people an opportunity to create their own either a wallet or a small pouch, and they'll learn how to use beadwork techniques on wool felt, including two-needle stitching for flat surfaces and decorative border stitching. So.
Wow. You know, Ricky Tagaban is just one of those artists that if you don't know his work, jump on board just really, really quickly. It's beautiful stuff. And this is an amazing opportunity. I actually have never heard him give a class like this before.
Yeah. This is, I think, one of our first adult classes. He's taught some kids classes with great success, but hoping there's some interest for adult work as well.
Yeah, that's a huge opportunity for us in Juneau here, just to learn from him. I mean, he's a young artist too.
Mm-hmm.
So to just think about how much growth he has, it's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
So if people want to sign up, what's a good way to do that?
Well, they can either sign up through our website. We have a registration form. Or if they want, they can give us a call at 586-1750, and we can sign up over the phone. Or if you're downtown, you can just stop on in and sign up in person.
Yeah, it's always a great time to just stop right into Canvas and say hello and talk to people, and there's always something going on there.
Yeah.
Is there online stuff? Where's the canvas.org?
Yes, there is. It's at canvasarts.org.
Canvasarts.org.
Is where our full class listings and our registration, all that information.
Great. So this round is mostly for January and a little bit of February, and is there a new round of classes in March?
We have full classes for January, February, and March, and a couple in April, actually, already scheduled.
Gotcha. Yeah. So you can get the full meal deal at canvasarts.org.
Yes.
And can you give us that phone number one more time?
Yep. Our front desk number is 586-1750.
Cool. Catherine Kella, Program Assistant at Canvas, thank you so much for coming in to talk to us about the very cool things happening at the Canvas.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. And coming up right now, we're going to hear a little bit of music from Marion Call. Marion Call being the next KRNN Spotlight Concert Series and one of my favorite local musicians.
I wish I were a real Alaskan girl. I wish that I could hold my beer. I would wear hip waders in summer and heels at 10 below. I'd have sexy woolly legs with long and flowing frozen hair. Oh, to be a scowgirl in in the last frontier, where chicks run the Iditarod and win it. Oh, I would wrench on my own goose, and I'd jerk my own moose, and I'd drive a huge domestic truck and actually haul stuff in it. A little less sugar, a little more spice, a whole lot of fire and even more ice. From Kotzebue to Ketchikan, from Dead Horse to Attu, Alaskan chicks can teach a city girl like me a thing or two. Oh, I wish I were a real Alaskan girl, because I hear that they kick ass. It's easy to see why a local woman's in demand. The guys have to queue up for years to get a chance to hold your hand. I would find me a big burly bush pilot boy. I'd hook and reel him in and fiancé him. But if he ever double-crossed me or tried to do me wrong, then I wouldn't hardly hesitate to skin, gut, and fillet him. I'd shoot more than a camera at the animals and such. I'd eat Rudolph for breakfast and Bullwinkle for lunch. Oh, Alaskan girls are fearsome and fearless by design. They kill mosquitoes with a look and mess with trusting tourists' minds. They're ruggedly handsome in their way. They're wild and free and meant to be that way. So from Jackaloff to Juneau, raise a glass to a proud and confident and deserving Alaskan woman, you know. And from Beaver to Tidlick, here's to ladies who understand that their self-image should have nothing whatsoever to do with their shade of lipstick. Oh, I wish I were a real Alaskan girl, but when it comes down to it, for most of us, Los Anchorage is gonna have to do it.
And that's Marion Call. She's just, if you love that song, a lot of her songs are like that. It's just a lot of fun. You can see her as part of the KRNN Spotlight Series next Wednesday night. You can get tickets and more information at ktoo.org. Here in the studio with me, I have Lena Simmons on the board of Juneau Lyric Opera, and then also Byron McGillivray. McGillivray, I said that correctly. Yes,
you did.
Excellent. And they're here to talk about the Midwinter Vocal Festival concert, which is Saturday night.
Yes,
welcome.
It's I think 7:30.
Perfect.
7:30. At Thunder Mountain.
Great. Well, welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
So a great article in today's newspaper, actually, in the arts section.
I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah. So, Byron, this is your 25th year, is
25.
That?
25.
Wow.
It's when we started this thing, as I said, it's difficult to think that we'll be going 25 years later, basically with the same people. I'm talking about the principals who are putting it on and who are conducting. And we've watched it evolve and done so many things and involved new people and gotten them engaged in the vocal life of this community. And that's... That educational aspect to me is probably the most fulfilling.
Yeah. So for folks who don't know what the Midwinter Vocal Concert is, Lena, do you think you could just kind of fill us in a general overview?
Sure. For the last 25 years, during about this time of the year, we do a couple of choral workshops, basic voice, you know, if you're a shower singer, can you sing better in the shower sort of thing. And then a chance for people to sing in a larger group and do some repertoire that you might not get to do anywhere else. If you standardly just sing in your church choir or something like that, there's lots of things you can't do. And so we try to pick things that are suitable for a larger group or maybe a little more difficult than what you're used to. And once you sort of get all together, the karma all just sorts of to form, you know, and we just kind of shroosh right into the music. So we've been working on 6 pieces this year, and they're going pretty well. Even that one little piece in the Bernstein's going not badly.
The Bernstein is difficult, rhythmically, and very difficult. But we'll be there. It'll be ready.
Yeah.
So Byron, can you tell us a little bit about the other pieces?
We're doing one movement from Carmina Burana,
By request.
By request.
By request. The singers just keep saying, when are we going to do Carmina again? You know.
And we're doing one movement from the Polovitsian dances. And so everybody show up because you won't recognize the title, but you'll certainly recognize the tune. And we're doing two pieces that we did from the very first concert. The only two pieces we were able
we
to pull off.
We could only able to do two.
We did the Laudate Dominum from Mozart's Solemn Vespers. And then we did the Kyrie from Schubert's Mass in G Major. And those were the only two pieces we're able to do. Everything else for our little concert, we filled in with solos and duets.
Everybody got to do their party.
Everybody got to do something. And so we've seen that evolve. And our audience, of course, by name was pretty small. And we've seen it evolve to where our summer sessions, one of our summer sessions when we did, I think, the Brahms Requiem, we did it at the high school auditorium, and it was the place, the bottom was almost full. It was an incredible performance. And so we've watched every aspect of it grow, from what we offer to the public as far as JLO sponsorship, and from sight reading, rhythm. We did one time about the choral music from beginning until now, and all kinds of things that we've offered. But as I said, I think that the most important part is that educational aspect, and that that brings into the choral life, the vocal life of this community, more and more people. And we have a lot of young people in this. We have probably 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, at least 7 that are high school age. Have 2 that are younger and do quite well.
That's great. How many people are participating this year?
73.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
So it's pretty epic sound.
Yeah, it's
yeah. It when I think back. So 25 years ago, we were pretty rough when we started.
I would say that.
it was a struggle to do the two pieces, very much of a struggle to do the two pieces. There were 23 of us, and some people had more choral experience than other people, and there hadn't been a choral group except for university singers in quite a while. There had been oratorio choir through the years, and it had sort of gone away. And there had been St. Paul singers, and it had gone away. And a lot of people didn't want to pay to go out and do university singers at the university. And so, but they did come out for this one intense week in January. And we could tell that we hadn't been singing for a while. And we were very pleased when he said, oh, yeah, I'll come back. And we're kind of going, really? After this, you know.
So, Byron, you do come twice a year,
yes.
Correct? And you make your home in Texas?
Yes.
Okay, and so what is the draw to this little fine community?
I talked with the chorus the other night. This is the only place I've ever come without a contract. And I've never had a contract here. I come because the thing that draws me are two things. Number one, the people. Because I feel probably more at home here, and I have more people I would call my close friends here than even I do at home, especially than I do at home. And the second thing is an attitude that says, okay, we can do this. It's almost like a pioneer attitude. If it's going to get done, we're going to have to do it, and we can do it. And so that attitude keeps bringing me back. I really don't know what I would do if I didn't have this opportunity to come back and
you'd
do
die
this.
In the Texas summer heat. That's
absolutely.
What you do.
She's implying that's all I come back here for. But it has been 25 years of a tremendous association, and we've never had one conflict as far as. Programming, or it just hasn't happened. And Lena, I think, except for the first two, Lena has been the coordinator for all of these, summer and winter, for 23 years. And a lot of what has happened has been because of her involvement in advertising and promotion and that kind of thing, because it takes a whole lot of time and a whole lot of effort. And then she has to put up with me.
He's even living with me right now, which is nice, actually. I don't have to go chase him down anywhere.
You can find him when you need him, right?
I can find him, you know. But it's been fun. This year especially has been fun. We got all the young people, you know, that's, you know, I just turned 60. So, you know, I'm going to have to replace myself here, you know, in a little bit of time or, you know, 25 or 30 years. And so it's great to have people singing that young. And we're everywhere from about 11 or 12, well, I guess 12 to probably 79 or 80. And everybody's having a good time, and the sound is really good.
We have several people who've flown in who have been a part of this before, who live out in the lower 48 now, and they've flown in to that. And on the first night, I asked everybody who got their start, their involvement in singing choral things or solo things in these workshops and these festivals to raise their hands, and it was well over half.
Yeah.
And so that's the import.
So over the years, how have you seen the singers grow?
Oh,
we can do more than two pieces.
Oh, yeah, and individuals. I'm reminded of Guy Warren. Guy's Peg, his wife, gave him for his birthday a voice lesson, and Guy is 6'9", big dude, and he's shaking out of his boots because it's new experience. And Guy has participated in the operas. He's done all kinds of things. So they've stepped out into solo arenas. They've stepped out into conducting arenas. Some of the kids have gone on to do music as a career, and so yeah, I've seen them expand in every way possible.
Speaking of soloists, who are the soloists this weekend?
Okay, Kathleen Wayne is doing the Laudate Dominum because she did it the second time we did it.
Mm-hmm. Stan Watson, who was our resident tenor at the time 25 years ago, did it because none of the sopranos wanted to attempt it. They were all scared. So.
And then Dan Wayne is doing the spiritual, Ain't Got Time to Die.
He wailed last Monday night in rehearsal. He was incredible. I mean, it's worth coming just to hear him do that piece because it was just, you know, spine tingling.
And on one of the pieces that the small group is doing, we have a small chamber group. We're doing Lux Aeterna, and that's Wade Rogers and Scarlett Adam.
And don't forget Sarah.
And Sarah
Penrose.
Sarah Penrose is our boy soprano on the
Bernstein
Chichester Psalm.
She starts
doing a
off
beautiful
the,
job.
She starts off the 23rd Psalm in Hebrew, which is, I think, where the guys are. The rhythms are hard, but I think it's
language.
The Hebrew isn't hard. It just looks intimidating, you know. Mm. And so they get a little, you know, how do you pronounce this?
Reticent.
Well, that's
reluctant.
Yeah, reluctant. Well, not reluctant, just scared.
Yeah.
It sounds like a great concert. So let's get some details out there. When is the concert?
Saturday night, 7:30 at Thunder Mountain High School. Tickets are available on the usual, you know, the Jack and
Hearthside. Jack.
You can. There's a link on our website. You know.
How much are tickets?
$15 for the general public and $10 for seniors and students. And then I think, you know, younger kids, there's another price for them, but I don't remember.
Great. Well, what a pleasure. How lucky we are to have you come to our community twice a year.
I always get more than I give. The reward for me is much greater than the expenditure. And I've always felt that way. And when it ceases to be that way, I won't do this anymore. It won't be worth it. I've been conducting for 56 years, and I've earned the right to do the things I like to do. And this is one of those. And I can't see any circumstance other than I can't do it anymore, and they don't have me back, that I would want to stop.
That sounds good for us, actually.
Yeah, I think so, too.
So, Lena, if people want to get involved next time, so you can go hear the Midwinter Vocal mm-hmm. Festival concert this Saturday. But let's say that you're a singer and you're, you know, you want to give it a shot yourself.
Watch the website or the Facebook page because we'll do it again in the summer.
Okay. And what month does it usually fall in?
First 2 weeks of August, normally. Okay. It kind of varies a little bit depending upon, you know, how the days of the week spread out and when the 1st of August, you know, where it is. But it's about the first 2 weeks of August. We haven't quite decided what we're going to do yet. In fact, we asked the singers the other night to give us suggestions because we've done everything. We've done the Brahms Requiem and the Rutter Requiem and the Mozart Requiem. And
Elijah.
Carmina Burana. Ramirez's Missa Criolla. I mean, we've done just a lot of Broadway, just a big variety of things. And now it's time, you know, to hear what they want to do. And so we're getting some interesting suggestions.
Sounds good. And what's the website that people can look at in?
JudoOpera.org.
Fabulous. Well, Byron and Lena, thank you so much, and best of luck with the show this Saturday.
Thank you so much.
And here is a little bit of Writer's Almanac before we talk to Beth Weigel from the local public library.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday. It's the 2nd of January, 2014. It's the birthday of the Antarctic explorer Apsley Cherry Garrard, born in Bedford, England, 1886, author of the book The Worst Journey in the World, about a search in the Antarctic for the eggs of the emperor penguin in 1912. He wrote, "Polar exploration is at once the cleanest and most isolated way of having a bad time which has been devised." It's the birthday of the playwright Christopher Durang, Montclair, New Jersey, 1949, raised Roman Catholic, educated by monks, thought he might become one himself, instead a playwright. And when he was 28, he had his first big success with the play Sister Mary Ignatius Explains It All for You. More recently, the play Vanya and Sonia and Masha and Spike won the 2013 Tony Award for Best Play. It's the birthday of the science fiction writer Isaac Asimov, born in Petrovichy, Russia, 1920, came to this country when he was 3. His parents opened a candy shop in Brooklyn where the boy was able to read magazines, including science fiction magazines, and started writing science fiction as well. Published his first story when he was 18. It was on this day, 1920, that the Attorney General, A. Mitchell Palmer, who was planning to run for president and who claimed there was a Bolshevik conspiracy to overthrow the United States, carried out a series of raids, 33 cities across the country. Federal agents from the FBI rounded up thousands of suspected dissidents, often on little or no legal grounds, many of them held for months without charges being filed. Most of the press coverage was favorable, though in the raids, the agents had confiscated only 4 pistols. Thousands of the warrants were declared illegal, and a Massachusetts court ordered the release of many prisoners, saying a mob is a mob, whether made up of government officials or of criminals. Here's a poem for today by William Meredith, entitled Parents, for Vanessa Meredith and Samuel Wolf Gazzari. What it must be like to be an angel or a squirrel, we can imagine sooner. The last time we go to bed good, they are there, lying about darkness. They dandle us once too often, these friends who become our enemies. Suddenly, one day, their juniors are as old as we yearn to be. They get wrinkles where it is better smooth, odd coughs and smells. It is grotesque how they go on loving us, we go on loving them. The effrontery, barely imaginable, of having caused us, and of how. their lives. Surely we can do better than that. This goes on for a long time. Everything they do is wrong, and the worst thing they all do it is to die, taking with them the last explanation, how we came out of the wet sea or wherever they got us from, taking the last link of that chain with them. Father, mother, we cry, wrinkling to our uncomprehending children and grandchildren. Parents, a poem by William Meredith from Effort at Speech, New and Selected Poems, published by Triquarterly and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac. Supported by the Poetry Foundation, you can turn your iPhone or Android into a virtual poetry library with the Poetry Foundation's poetry app, available to everyone online at poetryfoundation.org/mobile. Produced by Joy Biles, assistance from Kathy Roach. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
And welcome back to Juno Afternoon. It's Thursday, the second day of this fabulous 2014. It's already off with a bang. And speaking of off with a bang, Beth Weigel and Andy here from Juno Public Libraries. Hi.
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 Thanks for coming to the studio.
Thanks for having us, as always.
Of course, of course. So we've got lots going on at the library, as we do
always,
all the time.
Always a lot going on at the library. January is also packed full of amazing things.
Okay, so let's say that it seems like because there's so many things, we should probably break it up into segments.
Let's break it down.
Let's break it down. Okay, so if I was a kid in Juno, right, mm-hmm. what would I do at the library, Beth?
Well, you've probably been missing story times and toddler times because we took a little break.
Right.
So we're going to go back onto our toddler time and regular story time schedules next week. And we're throwing in a super bonus this week.
What's the super bonus?
The super bonus is tomorrow we're having a special toddler time, sort of story time activities at 11 at the Mendenhall Valley Library. We're going to read some winter books and have an activity and sing some songs. It's going to be awesome.
Wow. And who leads these? I mean, is it different people, different places, or how does that work?
Right. Well, there's four of us in youth services, and we take turns and have our own sort of toddler times and story times going at each of the three branches. So these happen at all the different branches. I personally lead the story times on Wednesdays at 11 at the downtown library.
That's a good time.
Yeah.
And so how many toddlers, you know, how many toddlers get in a room? It sounds like a really bad light bulb joke. How many toddlers does it take to...
Well, it can vary. You know, I have sat down with one child and read for 40 minutes, and I have sat down with dozens of children in the room and read with them. So it can really vary from week to week, and we just encourage parents to come on in with their little ones, anyone from, you know, newborns. It's never too early to start reading with your child, up to, you know, about preschool before they get to go to kindergarten and work with their teachers there. So,
oh, how fun.
Yeah. And we also do family times with the kids as well. We partner with AEYC once a month, and that'll be on Tuesday, the 7th at the downtown library. We'll have, you know, your child might have gotten a little like overwrought during the holidays. So time to chill out with some yoga with kids. So we're going to do that. Carol Race, who used to be a librarian, and I, of course, now have her job, but she's coming back, and she's also a Radiant Child yoga teacher, and she's going to do some yoga with the kids. And that's our family night we do in coordination with AEYC. And then every third Thursday in the month, we do a family night as well out at the Valley. And this month, we're going to talk about avalanches because the last three Thursdays on the third Thursday of the month have been snowy, snowy, snowy. So we're ready to talk about the snow now.
Oh, excellent. Yes. Yes. And, you know, I should come to that, too. Is it? Can you be
we can
old?
Start you out at the elementary school level of avalanche knowledge. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I might
it's
need it.
It's for families, after all, and you're part of our family, Jonah.
Anything else going on? That's so much for kids. Anything else going on for kids there?
Those are the big things for kids this month at the library. And, you know, we also have a lot of services and programs for adults and teens and other age groups. And our technology services and electronic services, I guess. I brought Andy along today because she is the professional geek this month at the library.
So, and Andy, I was like, is that offensive? And you were like, no, I named it myself. So what do you mean, professional geek?
I mean, you can rent her out.
What?
We are doing a program at the library this month called Rent a Geek, and it's an introduction to a lot of the digital and electronic services that the library offers. We have thousands of downloadable ebooks and audiobooks and different services. We have online tutoring. We have tons of stuff. And there are a bunch of different apps that you can get on a variety of devices. You can get it on your Apple and your iPads. You can get it on Kindles. You can get it on Nooks, all sorts of things. And so people can sign up for a one-on-one 30-minute private tutorial with me, and they bring in their device, and we go over all the different stuff that they might be interested in.
And it's free.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, so Rent a Geek. I even feel bad saying that. I'm like rent a technology specialist.
That's right.
Geek power.
Yeah. You can geek out at the library. That's one of the past slogans, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, geek out at the library.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, great.
What do you geek?
So, what, did you say, what do you geek?
Yeah.
Is that like a thing?
It's a slogan. What do you geek?
Oh, well, I had no idea. You are what you geek. Yeah. So, Andy, what have you worked at the library for a long time?
Is this... not super long. I've been there about 9 months. My official title is Electronic Services and Community Outreach. So I do a bunch of different programs for adults. I do programs with all ages outside of the library, and I do a lot with the technology and databases.
Right.
So. And what's that program that you were talking about last time, Beth?
Oh, the online with libraries. You are so smart because you know what? She set up a really awesome one for this month as well.
Oh, really?
Yes.
What is it?
It's called Tour the Denina Exhibition, and it's going to be on Wednesday the 8th at 7 p.m. at the Douglas Library. It's basically going and taking a tour of the Athabascan art exhibit, right?
The Anchorage Museum has set up the first ever Athabascan culture exhibit. So it's going to talk about the culture over time. It's going to talk about modern culture. And there's hundreds of different objects. And the curator of the exhibit, his name
Aaron,
is going to be video conferencing in with us, and he's going to take us on a virtual tour of the museum. So you get to be at the Douglas Library, and you get to see the awesome Anchorage Museum.
And so this is all stuff that you set up, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
That's so awesome. And, you know, I should probably rent you.
That's totally fine.
Sounds a little gross, but, you know, I know what for. But that's really great, because I think what it does, too, is it just kind of connects the bigger part of Alaska.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that's what the AL program's all about, trying to keep Alaska giving us opportunities to visit other places and see what other programs are going on in other parts of the state. So the other fun sort of technology-based program that we have ongoing at the library is our TED Talks. And so that's really a fun night of learning, and it's on the 23rd of the month, and it's at the downtown library at 6 p.m. And this month's theme is creativity. So do you think of yourself as creative? Do you want to be creative? Perhaps you know somebody who's creative and has some more insights. But basically, there's going to be many of the TEDx presenters, and we put them all together, and people come down to the library and check that out and have some snacks and talk creativity.
Yeah, and those things are so cool. I mean, if you haven't seen a TEDx yet, I mean, it's just the TED Talks they're just smart and funny and witty, and you always learn something new.
It's true. I enjoy listening to it on the radio as well as watching them, and so it's a great time. And so I can round out a few more little programs we have going on. I think one that I'm very excited about is we're having our first ever author tea on the second Friday of the month. And they're featuring Louise Penny, so if you're familiar with her novels and want to come and chat about them, this is going to be a beginning of an ongoing series at the Douglas Library. So every second Friday, come to have some tea and talk about books that maybe you enjoy by specific authors. So they're kind of getting their ideas in order if you're interested in joining in on that. Also at the Douglas Library here at the beginning of the month is sort of a special opportunity on Monday the 6th. the Raventail Weavers Guild meet there every month, and this month they're inviting people to come and watch them weave. So that's a pretty exciting opportunity to see them in action. And then we're also doing something in coordination with Perseverance Theater, did you know?
You know, I found out about it yesterday.
Well, we're really lucky because Arlisha Jones is coming, and you guys are launching this great new play, Rush at Everlasting, and she's also a poet from what we understand.
She's a great poet.
So she's going to do a poetry reading with us on the 12th, Sunday, the 12th at 2 p.m., and it sounds like Emily Wall and Ernestine Haynes are going to join her, so we'll have a little nice poetry afternoon.
That's great. And where is that? The Douglas?
It's going to be downtown, actually.
Oh, downtown.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Right.
Moving on up.
Big time.
I know. How cool. So if people want to find out more information, where do they go as far as finding out all the schedule?
Right.
We all do so much stuff.
Right. Yeah. Right. And I didn't even mention we have a manga club that's for teens, which is manga is anime. And
Spanish
movies,
look on my face.
Movies in Spanish. So we have that as well. We have lots going on.
What's the next movie in Spanish?
The next movie in Spanish, I think, is Big Miracle. It's an Alaska story, and I don't know a whole lot about it other than that. Big Miracle.
I need to go see a Spanish movie, but one that I actually know all the words
right.
to the movie.
Well, that happens over in Douglas as well.
See, like Big Lebowski in Spanish or something, you know?
That
or...
would be fun. We try to keep them very family-oriented.
Oh, right. Right. That would not be for me. Right.
So if you do want to know more about any of the things that Andy and I have talked about today, you can always start at our website. That's a great place. It's juno.org/library. We also have a Facebook page, so Juno Public Libraries. Plural there.
Okay.
We also usually, the Friends of the Juno Public Library, who sponsor so many of our programs and have the great, amazing bookstore out there that helps support all our programs, they repost things on their Facebook page as well. And we have, you know, on our website, our calendar, all the things going on.
Yeah. How cool. And I really encourage people to talk with Andy here, because if you can, you know, get somebody to help you out technology-wise to just make your, you know, library use more effective. Or,
that's right. You probably got something new for the Christmas holidays here, maybe, and, you know, you don't quite know how to use it yet. So this is a great opportunity.
Yeah.
That's what I'm here for.
Nice. Well, Andy and Beth, always a pleasure to talk about what's going on in the library. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And speaking of geeks, and this is also self-identified, I didn't actually make this up, Marion Call, we're going to hear one more song from her because she's got this KRNN Spotlight concert series next Wednesday night, and she's just a great songwriter. Here she is.
All the cool kids keep enthusiasm rationed, right down to the last explosive ounce. But I'd rather indulge my many passions, even if my squaritude's a little too pronounced. Perhaps I do not strike you as a geek without the horn-rimmed glasses and knee-high argyle socks. But nerdery is more than wardrobe deep, and I'm a nerd down in my heart, and that's where nerdhood rocks. I'm better acquainted than a good girl ought to be with Aragorn and Yosef Bridge and Worf and Hal and Han. But you don't really know me, and my culture don't control me, so don't you pigeonhole me, cause my phaser's set to stun. Oh, I have been a nerd since long before I could have heard that just look at that. Cool. so I won't ever once be bored. Oh,
I have been a nerd since long before anyone heard that Devin Scrawny was the latest fashion trend.
That's Marion Call, and she's got the Karen and Spotlight series coming up actually next Wednesday. Check that out. She's just a great, great songwriter and lots of fun, beautiful voice. And that concert's going to sell out quickly. You can get more information at ktoo.org. And in the studio with me, the one, the only, Nancy DeJourney. Hi, Nancy.
Hey, Shauna. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
Yes, well, here we are. We're off for 2014. It's going to be a rip-roaring arts year.
That's what they say.
Mm-hmm. Every year they say that. But we mean it this year. Okay, so the kids are still on winter break.
That's right.
And they go back to school next Monday. We have a wonderful film here in town at the Goldtown Nickelodeon, Philomena. It's got Judi Dench in it. And that kind of, I didn't really track the whole schedule. They intersperse it with some other things, but worth going to check the Goldtown Nickelodeon website.
They're talking Oscar nod for her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely.
Looking good.
Yeah.
Friday tomorrow is First Friday.
Again? We just had one. Are you serious?
It was a short one.
It's like they happen once a month or something.
Yes, it does happen that way. Starting at 9 o'clock in the morning, from 9 until 3, there's Taffy is offering Flow 40 dance workshops. These are going to go through the weekend. It's for kids and adults, ages 6 to adult, and it's $225 for the whole thing. They brought in these dance teachers from Los Angeles to work with a bunch of folks. Get more information on the Taffy, TAFY.org website. Sounds pretty exciting. From 9:30 till 2, up at Eagle Crest, it's Mountain Savvy course for kids ages 12 to 16. Good to get that going on. Okay, so the first Friday openings, they're interesting ones. There's not as many as last month, needless to say.
Well, last month it was gangbusters,
it
really.
Yeah, you couldn't stop and enjoy anything. So you just had to press on and get, anyway. A wearable art retrospective over at the Jack. Rachel is over there right now putting up the amazing, you see them from a distance, the pieces, and you often don't get to see them up close and see the detail that goes into them. So this is your opportunity. We have some that date way back, and then we have the winner from last year, Jenna Smith's piece. So come on down. There's really interesting things, including just some of the people that only saved their shoes from their piece. So we've got parts
and parcel.
Yes.
That's so cool because, you know, wearable art is just really right around the corner.
Yes, it is. Have you noticed that? I have. Also in the main hall, this is Mentoring Month, and in celebration of that, the Big Brothers Big Sisters is putting on an art exhibit in our main hall of pieces of art from Big Brother Big Sister matches.
So, oh, cool.
Yeah, it'll be nice. It's only going to be up for Friday night, so come on down for that. The Alaska State Museum is coming up on the last opportunity. They're going to close that building down for a little while. So this is one of your last opportunities to see the exhibits by Dick Benedict, David Rubin, and the 10 Years of Art Retrospective. So it's open during First Friday, and admittance is free. So take advantage of that. Annie Kales has a new artist to town named Susie Griffin. She works in mixed media and acrylics. And also Kelsey Fagan will be exhibiting at Annie Kales. COPA, if you go back around by the Federal Building, is going to be open and with photography by Joe McCabe. The exhibit is called Cal-Eyed-O-Scope Visions, which I'm not real sure what that means, but the image was interesting. So, and, of course, you can always get ice cream there. Such a deal. And it's good, too. The Juno Artist Gallery, which is a local co-op. People may not understand what the Juno Artist Gallery is, but it is a cooperative run by local artists. And this is their month where they talk to you about if you're interested in being in the co-op, a member of the co-op, how to do that, meet the other co-op members, all that sort of stuff. So stop in there and just learn more about the whole group. There's a new exhibit space opening at 209 Seward Street. Malott for Governor campaign office is going to have art exhibits every month. So
really?
Really? Cool, huh?
Wow.
So this is this month, there will be art activities for the whole family. They're doing some snowflake work. And so that's just down the hill from the canvas, which will be open but not having an opening. They will have their same exhibit up. The Rookery has Nice Looking, which was put up last month by Sarah Conroe. It's going to stay up, and then it concludes at the end of the month with a dinner of some sort. So.
And it's an evolving exhibit.
Yes.
Like she's constantly working on it, which I think is pretty cool.
So even if you saw it last week, you should come and see it again.
Yeah.
Yes. The Silver Bow Inn, Jill White of Trout Unlimited, is starting to put the Trout Unlimited stuff up, and she'll be there, but this will not be the big opening. She will be there to talk about what's going on. So stop in at the Silver Bow also.
Speaking of the Silver, is that wine bar open yet?
I don't think so.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
I'm
ready
for that. Over here.
Yeah. We're ready.
Ready. A little bubbly, please.
Yes, please. And then at 7 p.m. on Friday, let's see, the Midwinter Vocal Festival folks are rehearsing. You just talk to them. Or is that, maybe that's the actual
performance. It's the actual performance Saturday night.
It's on Saturday night.
That's
so
right.
On Friday, Dan Hobson is doing live guitar over at the Gold Room. And at 8 p.m., men's lead salsa classes with Alejandro Soria at the Juno Urgent and Family Care. It's his dance studio upstairs there.
So it's just for guys?
I don't know about that, but they have to have someone to lead. And maybe what they should have is a women's following class, because I have trouble with that department. My husband will attest to that. But anyway. Saturday, it's the STEM thing. The Saturday thing is going on at 9:30 in the morning. There, at 11 a.m., there's yoga for kids ages 5 to 8 at the Rainforest Emporium Mall. Bonnie and Clyde. They're showing Bonnie and Clyde at the Gold Town Nickelodeon at 4 p.m. and at 9 p.m. And this is kind of in preparation for Rush at Everlasting, which is going to open up on Sunday, actually, with a preview, because it's sort of a similar premise, as
yes.
I understand it.
Yes.
Okay. 7 p.m., as you mentioned, it is the 25th anniversary of the Midwinter Vocal Festival. It's their concert out at Thunder Mountain High School. And at 7:30 p.m., Gold Street Music is having a concert at Resurrection Lutheran Church.
That's going to be cool. It's going to be Stuart Ely, Joe Emerson, John Hartle, Julie, can't pronounce, Machacos, maybe, Mark Hurd, and the North Country Cajun Band. And that's going to be sweet. They always put on some great shows.
Sounds lively and fun and all that stuff. And then on Sunday at 7 p.m., it's George Kuhar's third annual birthday show. Now, I suspect that he's more than 3 years old, but that's all right. There will be birthday cake and all sorts of stuff. This is at the Rookery. And that's at 7 p.m. on Sunday.
Are there tickets for sale for that?
Not that I'm aware of. It could be one of those things where you get there and get
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I'm going to get there early.
Okay,
I can't
good.
Wait, actually.
Yeah. Yes. At 7:30 p.m. on Sunday, Rush at Everlasting, which is Perseverance's next play, opens with a pay-as-you-can preview, which we used to call dress rehearsals. But it's a nice opportunity, especially if you're going to see it again. I always like to see the evolution of how it works.
Me
out.
Too.
It's sort of interesting. Are you performing in this one?
I'm not.
Oh, okay.
I'm,
good. You're busy otherwise.
I'm doing another thing.
Good. Monday at 5:30, there's Inside Passages, monthly forums on mental health and wellness. This is being offered at Bartlett Regional Hospital on the second floor. Tuesday at 5:30, it's family night for preschoolers ages 3 and 5 at the downtown library. Wednesday, Write for Your Life out at the Mendenhall Valley Library. We've had a big uptick in people interested in this following the Poetry Omnibus program, and several of the poets participate in this. So if you're interested in either of those programs, go on out to the Mendenhall Library at 10 a.m. on Wednesday. And as you mentioned, Marion Call at 7 p.m. in concert at the Gold Town Nickelodeon. It's the KRNN Spotlight. Is that a monthly thing?
It is. It is a monthly thing for the fall and the spring. Yeah, so no summer shows.
Okay.
Yeah.
So here we
it's
are.
It's awesome, too.
It is very nice. And the Gold Town is a nice small venue to see things. Did we go through the First Friday exhibits?
We did.
We went through them all. I forgot to mention the City Museum.
Oh, what's going on there?
I forgot. They're having Ordinary Things and Extraordinary Tales, a community participatory exhibit. They have taken some things out of their stuff in storage or whatever, and different artists from around town have written something or prepared a presentation about their response to this item. And this is going to go on through the month with an opportunity later in the month for just anybody to come in and participate in that way. So go up to the City Museum and see what they got going on up there on First Friday. Sorry, I missed that. So let's see. And so Wednesday, there's a rush at Everlasting Pay As You Can, and Thursday it opens.
Friday
it opens.
Yeah. I hope. Yeah. I hope. But we're not ready on Thursday.
We're not ready on Thursday. No. I don't know why I put that there, just to make everybody excited. I want to mention a couple of things. If you are an arts, a member of an arts organization on a board or a volunteer or something like that, we're hosting Red Cross training, CPR training, Saturday morning. There'll be a small cost, not anywhere near what you ordinarily would pay. But you probably read in the paper, we had a scary incident at the Jack that turned out okay because there was CPR training. Trained people there. So we want to offer that. And then coming up next weekend, we have the Tony Foreman to talk about the WAC.
How very cool. Thank you very much, Miss Nancy. Always arts up. Here's to a great year. Have a great new year.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. New England is bracing for a winter storm. The Massachusetts Port Authority has already put in place a plan to ground planes at Boston's Logan International Airport. WGBH's Ibi Caputo reports from the airport the last departure will be in about a half an hour.
No planes will be flying into or out of Logan Airport overnight. Director of Aviation Ed Frenney says all flights Friday morning have been canceled.
Friday morning, we don't expect to really start up operations somewhere before noontime.
Frenney advises passengers to call their airlines for information about flights.